live at the Shaw. Welcome back to the Paul Revere Show. We are here talking about the day they took the rainbows away in Waukesha County, Wisconsin. For all you folks out there listening, we have a superintendent, Dr. James Siebert, issued an edict that said you couldn't have rainbows in your classrooms because it's too controversial. Now, what do you think of that? We have a group of parents, Alliance for Education Waukesha, here with us. You heard from Dave on the other side, but we have Melissa Bushman and Laura Pinsonol. Is that? No, come on. Pinsonol. There we go. So, Laura, how about you? You go first. How'd you get involved with the Alliance? And
well, I think, as Dave said, we kind of found each other, like-minded people in Waukesha. I think the chatter started sometime around the last board election on Facebook chats, just listening to board meetings and trying to really figure out exactly what was going on with the conversations that were being had by our board and by parents in the district through open comments. And I think at some point, I think we all just got together and said it's time we did something, or at least found some ways to be useful. So we started meeting, chatting, looking at the issues that were coming in front of us and starting to say, hey, what can we do? What actions can we take?
So when you say issues, as a parent, what do you see those issues and how do you see it impacting your children?
Yeah, well, I think we've seen systematically since the spring, one issue after another. So let's go through. COVID mitigation and keeping our kids healthy and safe at school that led to the summer actions to start to audit school library books and censor those library books. We led to the votes on the school free food programs for breakfast and lunch that we had a pretty active role in helping get to a special board meeting and getting that vote turned over so that we could offer breakfast and lunch to our students.
Yeah, let's come back to the food for a minute. But there's been a lot of talk around the country about books and book banning. Have they actually banned books at the high school level?
Well, we use a lot of words other than ban, but in fact, we've exhausted resources, learning resources from librarians and teachers to have them inventory over 360,000 books or so in our school libraries and classroom libraries to end up with about 5 books, I think, actually being not necessarily removed from the schools, but moved into a different library up a level from middle school to high school or something like that. We've reworked.
Okay, but that's, I mean, it's important. So they actually have gone through and gone carefully through books.
360,000.
How long have you been in Waukesha? And,
me?
Yeah.
I've been in Waukesha 20 years.
And so has there been any of this screening books in the 20 years?
Not that I'm aware of.
Was there ever a problem with the books that kids were reading or looking at for the past 20 years?
I've had kids go through the entire school system and never once have they shown up with a book that was a problem.
So what are the books that have been moved up? It sounds like they've gone from younger kids up. Is that what is done? They haven't banned them. They just said they're not encouraging kids of certain ages to have easy access to them.
Correct. Yes.
So what are the books? I'm just curious.
Well, most of those books are titled and highlight LGBT issues, anti-racism issues, sexuality, sexual identity, pretty much the list that's been handed over from the far right agenda just worked its way right onto the desk of our librarian.
So why do you think, you know, we're sitting here, there's, you know, 5 of us in this room, we're all white. Why do you think these other white folks are afraid of these books? What is it about these ideas that you think make them run and hide?
You know, I think that's a really That's a really tough question to answer. I think that there is a lot of fear that we have been hearing messaged over the last 4 years about white people not getting everything that they need, and that it's some kind of trade-off for equity, right? In order for people of color to have their needs met, that must mean that whites can't have theirs. And so we've pitted them against each other.
Well, it seems to me, looking, you know, I've got an office in Waukesha, and I've spent quite a bit of time out here, but this is not a county where there's a lot of deprived white people, right? I mean, there's not a lot of oppression, right? This is Lake Country, a lot of wealthy white folks. But what do you think it is that is driving certain board members in this regard? Because it's really like, why are they afraid of a rainbow, right? Why are they afraid to let a kid have their freedom? You know, I see there's your friend right there. Dave wants to jump in. Go ahead, Dave.
I think the biggest issue is the look and feel of Waukesha specifically is changing. The demographics are changing. The socioeconomic status of folks here is changing. When I look down the street, I see a really diverse set of folks. My neighbors, kids that go to my kids' school, they're not that homogenous white middle class to upper middle class look that maybe all of Waukesha is used to.
So why do you think folks are afraid of this? You know, because this is why I say it, right? I put it out there. I grew up in Nigeria, so I knew really as a very, very early age, there are really not a lot of white folks on the whole planet. And so we're all human beings, right? And so we should be treated like human beings and human rights. But I've always wondered about this. What is it? Because it's like, why would you be afraid, right? Why would we be afraid?
I think if we knew that answer, we would, our minds would be blown. It's just, it's something that is, we're like you said, we're all humans. We should be all treated like humans, and that's it.
Right? I mean, I've always said, right, I carry this Constitution around, right? Because it's my Constitution, right? It's my Union flag. It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, right? It seems like that's what you're trying to do, a more perfect union. So, Melissa,
yeah,
what do you think that scares them about this idea of a more perfect union?
I honestly have no idea. But, Dave, do you have an idea?
Dave has a theory.
Listen, I grew up in Kentucky, in a very white town. It took me moving to Baltimore and living in the city, living in urban areas, to appreciate the fact that there is value in diversity. Because when I grew up in a very, again, homogenous, I use that term a lot, a very homogenous area and neighborhood, and being I'm having my eyes and mind open to my experience isn't the only experience of value in the world. And I think there are people of color and different ethnicities and different religions and different backgrounds. They all have value in their background as well. And I think a lot of these issues that are cropping up come from a lack of empathy, a lack of being able to say, I've been down in the road in someone else's shoes, and there is stuff to be learned from that and value in that. So that's my experience.
Thank you much. We have a caller on the line waiting to get on, Sarah Harrison. And Evan, you want to let her on and then we'll...
Yeah, we're all set. We got a couple minutes before break, and then we got that segment to really dig into it.
So the... You're suggesting we bring in Sarah after the break?
Yeah, let's break right now, in fact. We can do it now, so we have a nice long chat.
That's what I need. Evan is my producer, a brilliant, brilliant man. Thank you, Evan. We'll be right back.